pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
There's a power that is released in speaking blessing where the flesh would rather speak curse. And the reason that this is so powerful is because there is a principle of faith that is at work. And God designed everything to operate by faith, and what you expect, you're more likely to get.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear today's message in a series titled The Power of Blessing, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching in the series, Praying with Power. Here is Alan Wright.
For a number of people who would be coming under the sound of my voice, you've been really hurt. People that have not respected you and maybe have sought to use you. And for people who have grown up with a lot of shame, people who have been in abusive relationships, you hear these words, bless those who curse you, and it could sound a whole lot like the very dysfunction you're trying to escape, right? And clearly, there's some things that we must say in general response to these kinds of questions. Number one, I do not believe that the Bible is saying that there's not a place for governments with armies that must stop tyrants. That's not described here, and I don't think that's the view of Scripture. There is a time, right, that evil just you have to stamp it out. It's not saying that when you are being treated like the doormat that you're supposed to just lie there and be mistreated. Jesus came and died for you, and when he did, he demonstrated to you that you were worth his life. You are worth an infinite price. And so every single human being is made in the image of God. And you, beloved, are a treasure to him, and your life is treasured. Who you are is a treasure and worthy of protecting. Your thoughts and your body and your time and your boundaries, all of this really matters. So just to be clear that when we talk about this, we're not talking about we shouldn't try to stop Hitler, and we should just bless him. And we're not talking about losing our healthy boundaries. We're talking instead about a spiritual dynamic that comes up in the course of everyday life. And sometimes it's in little ways in your family, and sometimes it's in bigger ways that do impact the way that we're going to interact with the culture around us. And I want to just talk to you for a few moments about how powerful this really actually is. And maybe you've seen instances of this in your own life. One of the pioneers in speaking about the power of blessing is a pastor named Bill Ligon. And he tells a story about some parishioners he had that had a seventh grader who had really failed seventh grade and was repeating the grade and was again not studying, not paying attention, being disruptive, and was about to fail the grade again if something didn't change. In their desperation, they called their pastor to come and pray with them. They said, we've tried everything. And as the pastor listened, he realized that the teachers had developed a real negative image of this student, and that the parents had also developed a real negative image. And in fact, they were saying things like, you continue making grades like this and you're never going to amount to anything. And he began to explain to them that really that was tantamount to curse. And he began to talk to them about the power of blessing and changing the kind of statements that they were making over their son, to begin to envision and see him succeeding as a student. And instead of just spewing out all of the negative things that they saw, to begin to affirm that he's a bright kid. And Pastor Ligon said he met with the student, and he said what he realized was this is a bright young man who was very defeated. And so he spent a long time, hours over a period of time, talking to this seventh grader about the power of blessing. And as he talked to him, he realized the student felt so defeated by his teachers, the teachers had no respect for him. And so he trained him up in this. And finally, when he was ready, he sent him to on a mission to school. And the student succeeded in doing just this. He went to each one of his teachers and he said, "I'm sorry for the way that I've been acting, but I believe that you're an excellent teacher. And I hope God raises you up to be a star teacher in this school." And one of his teachers looked at him and said, "I don't believe a word that you're saying, and you hadn't succeeded in the past, and I don't see you succeeding in the future." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I understand that," he said, "but I still believe that you're an excellent teacher, and I hope that you rise up to be a star teacher in this school." And the teacher looked back at him and said, "Well, if you really feel that way, then maybe we'll try to give it a fresh start." And he started making all A's and B's. He continued. He finished all of his schooling career, and he went on to become a jet pilot and had a prosperous career. There is this in individual relationships, but it also can be that there's an impact in the world. I was really moved this week in hearing some stories from some dear friends. It really is a story that started in November of 2002 when a strikingly beautiful newlywed woman named Bonnie Weatherall in November of 2002 was serving as a Christian missionary at the Christian Mission and Alliance Ministry near the biggest refugee camp in Lebanon that was helping so many of the refugees and Muslim children. And she particularly was working with the Muslim women and helping them and educating them and also working with the children. And in November 2002, somebody came and from close range shot her in the head 3 times. The New York Times ran at that time the whole back of the back page, half of it was on it, and then at her funeral ran on the front page. And there are a lot of articles that you could still read online about this, but I'm just going to read from the New York Times what was going on here. Sheikh Hamoud said, this is, I'm quoting from the New York Times, "Muslim religious leaders grew wary of the Christian and Missionary Alliance because its members combined computer lessons, English instruction, and gift of toys and candy with Sunday school classes for hundreds of Muslim children." And the particular sheikh said, "It was upsetting to hear this because they were trying to exploit their poverty to try to get them to change their religion." And evidently, a number of the clerics began to preach against the Christian Missionary Alliance. Particularly one influential Muslim monthly publication called The Pulpit of the Calling denounced the group, and it said, quote, "They destroy the fighting spirit of the children, especially of the Palestinian youth, by teaching them not to fight the Jews." And this kind of thing was evidently being broadcast among some of the religious leaders, and somebody took it to heart, and they went and they shot this beautiful young lady. Now, in your flesh, everything within you as a Christian wants, you know, what you want to say, your flesh wants to say is, we'll just never serve them again. Just let them be uneducated. Let them starve. Let them, if that's what you want, right? But that's not what's happened. And the reason I bring up this story is because of some very good friends of mine who have traveled to that region numerous times. In fact, one of my friends, Kalim Andreas, he grew up there right near Sidon in Lebanon. And he and my friend Jay Helvey, they've traveled there and taken other people from the city men fellowship, New Canaan Society. And what they've done instead over the years is continue to help the refugees. The refugees from the Syrian civil war are just flooding out by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And one of the biggest refugee camps is right there near Sidon, and also tons of refugees down in southern Lebanon at Tyre. And our guys, my friends, have been there to just encourage some of those few evangelical Christians that are on the front line. They've developed a relationship with a pastor named Muhammad Yamut. And Pastor Muhammad just loves Jesus, and he loves all those kids, and they supply blankets and supplies, and they show love to those kids. Some of our own guys here have helped to build a school, and they helped him to buy a van. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is that right here in the midst of this community, which is so hostile to Christianity, Pastor Muhammad's van clearly says on the side, "The Tyre Center for Gospel Proclamation," and he just rides it in and out and everywhere, and nobody harms him. Why? So much love. So much love. They just loving their kids, right? It's hard to hate somebody that's loving your kids. And what's happening is the pastors there are telling us that more Muslims are coming to Christ than they've ever seen, ever. There's a power that is released in speaking blessing where the flesh would rather speak curse. And the reason that this is so powerful is because there is a principle of faith that is at work. And God designed everything to operate by faith, and what you expect, you're more likely to get. You're more likely to get. It has to do with the principle of sowing and reaping. In the book of Genesis, right in the beginning, describes that God made every kind of plant for seed time and harvest. That everything in this world operates by seed time and harvest. What does that mean? It means that God could have designed it any way he wanted, but the way he designed it was little seeds that have inside of that little seed the potency, the fullness of the potential of the whole big tree. And what we learned is that every single thing reproduces after its own kind. I just couldn't tell you anything more important about this principle except that everything in God's universe reproduces after its own kind. You will never, ever plant an orange seed and get an apple tree, will you?
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series. That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Before God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful, he blessed them. Before God called Abraham to father a nation, he blessed him. Before God released his son into ministry, he blessed him. Why? Because blessing is God's secret strategy to empower you to be all he made you to be. When others affirm you, most of the time it's because you've proven your worth. Maybe you did well on a test, accomplished a goal, or proved yourself competent. Such affirmation is nice, but it's not the way of God. God's strategy is to declare your worth before you have done anything to prove it. In the kingdom of God, blessing is the fuel for your productivity, not the reward for it. Maybe you need your heart to be healed from old wounds caused by others withholding their blessing, or maybe you're ready to shatter that invisible ceiling that keeps you from soaring. Either way, Pastor Alan writes, the power of blessing will change your life. Change how you interact with others as you discover the ancient skill of the Hebrew patriarchs as they bless their children. Learn how to tune your heart to accept blessing and reject curse. Most of all, drink in the unquenchable blessing of God in Jesus Christ. Get motivated God's way with Alan Wright's 7-message CD album, The Power of Blessing. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
You'll never get unity by sowing division. You'll never get peace by sowing discord and angst. The seed that is planted has the full potential of the entire tree that then bears the fruit, and inside that fruit is more seed. Now, spiritually, this is what happens. And I'd like for you to think of every word that you speak spiritually as a seed. This is the way the Bible speaks of the words of our mouths, that the tongue has the power of life and death. This is how strongly the Bible speaks about this. That there is something that is going on that is of a spiritual principle here. And if you can recognize this in the fullness of what it means, it begins to change your paradigm. John and Paula Sanford were pioneers in the whole ministry of inner healing. And one of the things that they taught us about was the power of bitter root expectancy and judgment. What happened was that John grew up with a mother who was controlling and nagging, and Paula, she grew up with a father who traveled and was emotionally absent. And the last thing John wanted was to be married to a woman who was controlling and nagging, and the last thing Paula wanted would be married to a man who was emotionally absent. They got married, and guess what? The more they got into it, the more emotionally absent and more he traveled as a pastor, and the more she became controlling and nagging in response. And they began to seek the Lord about this, and what they discovered was something that's very important. It's related to this principle of sowing and reaping. they realized that they had formed judgments in their hearts, that John had formed without realizing a judgment that said, you know, women ultimately are going to be controlling and nagging. And that Paula had formed a judgment in her heart where she had a false belief that said, you know, ultimately men, when you need them, they're not going to be there for you. And what happened was they began unconsciously to expect this from one another. So the judgment that they held created an expectation. And the expectation was reaping the very thing that they didn't want. In other words, the more that John treated her, expecting her to be a nag, the more she was. The more that she's treated him as though she expected him to be emotionally absent, the more he was. In other words, they were sowing the very seed of the thing they didn't want to reap. And when they recognized this and they renounced those things and they began to say, I'm not going to hold a judgment that this is who you're going to be and who you're destined to be, and begin to bless each other, everything began to change in their marriage. Because the power of sowing and reaping is just a spiritual law. Now, here's the final question. I've talked about the problem of this and talked about how powerful it is, but how could it be possible? How could it be possible that we would ever actually really think like this on a daily basis? I want to just offer a couple of quick suggestions to you, and then we're going to pray for one another, okay? The first is that I think that we really can train ourselves by the revelation of truth. In other words, when the farmer goes out to sow the seed for his corn harvest, he makes a decision, I want corn, so I'm going to sow some seed. And he decides, I'm going to sow the corn. Now, what I think is important to see about this is that farmer, the corn that he's going to get, it really didn't depend on whether he wanted to plant that corn and felt like it that morning. It could have been cold. He could have been tired. But he gets up, he goes out and sows the corn seed. It doesn't have anything to do with whether he just felt great about it. It had to do instead with the fact that he just knew that corn seed produces corn. And I just want to invite you to begin to think about what would it look like that if you just recognize that the power of blessing is unto itself a spiritual principle that you can cooperate with. There are just things in the world we have to cooperate with. Gravity. You might just say, well, I can fly, but you jump off a ledge, you're going to get hurt because you're not going to change that principle. And you're not going to change this principle either. We reap what we sow. And I don't know about you, but it just helps me because I do want to live my life in a way that works. And I think that oftentimes this will just trump our fleshly appetite when we have a spiritual revelation of what actually works. And just remember that the blessing works and curse doesn't. And you're never going to get the result that you want by simply returning curse for curse. The second thing that I would suggest, and we'll pray with you this morning, is to ask God for the continued infilling of the Holy Spirit and ask Him to grant you the grace to yield your life more and more to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit produces fruit in your life. The Holy Spirit always produces love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. This is who God is, and God lives inside of you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can grow in your sensitivity to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and you can grow in your yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. And the good news of this is that this means the Holy Spirit in you is always wanting to bless and never to curse, because this is the nature of Jesus, and you have the Spirit of Jesus in you. Jesus came and died for us and blessed us while we only knew how to curse God. He came into the enemy territory and died for his very enemies. And this Jesus lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for one another that we would be continually filled with the Holy Spirit and let Him mold our thoughts and our actions and our words. And here's the third suggestion if you want to really live this out in your life. And that is, instead of thinking much about all the things you need to do, think much about Jesus and what He has done. I am absolutely convinced that this is the secret of the gospel's power being unleashed in our lives, is that we focus our heart on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Because if you need courage to face a difficult thing, you look to the one who has gone before you as your champion and defeated the enemy on your behalf and made the way of victory possible, and then you have courage. And when it comes to blessing those that curse you, if you look to the one who has come and blessed you instead of cursed you, the one who came not to condemn but to save you, and you see Him in His risen glory and see the countenance of the Lord lifted up upon you, what happens to you is your entire being is transformed by this. One of the most instructive stories about forgiveness is the story of Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr. He was the deacon, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. And we read about in Acts chapter 7 that being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they rushed together at him, and then they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And as the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, the text says, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Stephen asked the Lord to forgive those that were killing him. He was blessing the very ones that were stoning him to death. And how was this possible? It was possible because he had a vision of the risen Lord Jesus. He didn't forgive by simply saying, "You know, I ought to forgive now, and I may not feel like it, but I'm going to go ahead and choose to forgive." There was something much more transcendent than that going on. His heart was fixed upon Jesus, and he had a revelation of the glory of God in all of his grace. And what that vision does is it fills you up with a whole new capacity, a spiritual wealth in which he truly wanted God to forgive and save these people, even as Stephen himself had been redeemed and saved by the Lord's grace. And when he prayed that prayer, an extraordinary thing happened. God honored it for many, but he honored it for this one man who was named Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes the Apostle Paul. And the Lord heard Stephen's prayer, and later he brought a blinding light upon Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and Paul became the preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. And so you and I are here likely because of Stephen blessing his enemies. This is what a vision of Jesus will do. You can have a whole new paradigm and see the truth is my flesh wants to curse, but it does not work. You can ask God for the continued infilling of the Holy Spirit, and you can have your eyes fixed upon Jesus, who's the author and the finisher, because the way in which he saved you is that he came and loved you before you ever knew how to love him. And because he lives in you, you can do the same. That's the gospel.
Alan Wright. It's today's teaching in the series, The Power of Blessing. And we invite you to stay with us. Alan is back here in just a moment with additional insight on today's teaching for your life and today's final word.
Pastor Alan Wright's Power of Blessing will change your life. When you make a gift this month, we'll send you The Power of Blessing as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. And when you give, you'll not only be nourishing your own soul, but you'll help broadcast the good news to someone else. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
So if someone's been listening right now and they really feel moved, they're understanding this is a supernatural work to be able to look at someone who has spoken ill will, who has spoken a curse into their life, and find a way to be a blessing. What would you say to empower that person and to spur that person on to grabbing onto that and say, "Yeah, you can do it in Jesus' name"?
Well, I was saying in the conclusion of that message, I think that the important thing to do is instead of trying to muster up some sort of human strength to be able to forgive, I would instead do all you can to meditate upon the forgiveness of Jesus for you. So when Stephen is being martyred and he forgives those that are stoning him to death and wants God to forgive, including Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the Apostle Paul, it's his vision of Jesus that changes everything. He sees Jesus. And when he sees Jesus, then he has a supernatural capacity to forgive. That's different than saying, "Well, what would Jesus do in this situation?" That can sometimes just lead us into, "Well, I'll try harder."
Right.
But this is actually letting your heart be bathed and soaked in the same mercy that Jesus showed you, because then you have that mercy to show others. You become aware how spiritually rich you are when you see Jesus, and that gives you a position of generosity towards others. I think that's the key.
Today's good news message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.